You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Not thinking it in words, but when he said it, it's like a word in season again. Here I'm, 71, hearing it for the first time. Going to church does not make you a disciple of Jesus. Studying under somebody who teaches you is not make you a disciple. Reading the Word of God does not make you a disciple. He says, get up and follow me. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit me in prison. And so, like you said, it's an action, breaking chains.
Correct.
And that's real. That's important.
So we're getting ready for our fourth retreat.
And where can they find out the date and the place? At that Facebook site?
Yes.
It's called, what's the Facebook site called?
Breaking Chains Women's Ministry. We're going to change the name now that
Breaking Chains, period, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I think that's great. What gave you how long have you been doing this?
This is our fourth. I've been doing this for 5 years.
Five years.
Yes, and we started in 2020 with the pandemic.
Does that mean it or no?
I'm sorry.
Nope, that's to you. Okay, that's right. Yeah, but maybe we should turn it off if you don't mind. Can you get to that to turn it off? I hate to make you move, but yeah, because it'll keep going on and on. And you know what's great? Everybody has that happen in today's world, so
yeah.
It's not like, you know. Yeah, she's gonna turn that off there. Yeah. Hello.
There you go. All right.
Thank you, Doolin. All right, and we got the clock up there. Good. We have about 10 minutes. Can you believe it? Almost an hour has gone by so far.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't it go just like that? So you were nervous when you came in here. You're not nervous anymore. You know, it's funny. It's just the person that's nervous is the one that goes, oh, yeah, she's the one that's going to be sitting on the seat.
She has a gift. You have a gift.
Yeah.
You really do.
And I'm so glad that I was able to say that.
Yes.
Because, you know, because you run into male or females, you run into people that have a spirit of religion or there's a little cockiness or they're not totally broken. That's what's great about us who have been broken, like Mary Magdalene. Jesus said, he who's forgiven much loves much. You know,
Amen.
We know. Well, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. People read that who don't read the Bible. Oh, blessed are the poor. I need to be. No. He said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health as thy soul prospers. It's blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It means knowing that if I go along with Rhett's idea of life and do it all Rhett's way and I'm on the throne, I'm God. It's not going to work out too well. But if I know that I'm poor and needful mm-hmm. of a living God, a Father, I don't even like to call him God anymore because the relationship's grown so deep. And that is that. So I have a loving Father. Wow, you know.
Because I can give up myself. I can give up what I like. I can give up the world and what the world wants from me and live a life that's totally dedicated to the Lord. And that can hurt. That could be very hurtful, but because it's for the Lord, I can do it. My spirit, you can't break my spirit because my spirit is of God. And when we talk about being poor in spirit, that's just loving God with everything that we have in us and not letting the distractions of the world get to us. We don't have to do that.
And also being in service. I got to interview Mike Tyson a few years ago. And I like what he said recently. He said, do you ever get angry, I think it was, angry? And he said, he paused, and he said, only when I think I'm somebody.
Wow.
Only when I think I'm somebody.
That's huge.
I'm important. You've offended me with the way you drove by me. Who are you, Rhett? That person in that car may need a smile from you. It's okay. I have the power to give love. I have the power to give dignity.
Yes.
People want power. I'm working on a book on this indignity thing. It's like, I know the president, so I have power. I know this politician. I know a congressman. I know this. I've got $100 million. I got power, or I'm in a powerful position. Folks, you don't need any. You have as much power as you'll ever have right now because you have the power to walk out there mm-hmm. and see a homeless person and say, hi, how are you? You're important.
Yes, Ren.
You know? And also, don't deny the rich. Because I remember one time I was waiting in line at a Dunkin' Donuts, and this lady's waiting to pay, and I had to go. I was in a rush late to church. So I said to her, because it would benefited me, I said, don't worry, I'm paying it forward. I'm going to buy your ice cream cone today, you know? Anyway, so, but she walked out, even though she had like an, you could tell like a simple but expensive dresses, because those expensive ones are the simple ones. And she gets into a prestige vehicle. And I thought, oh, see, just because she's an up and outer, it might be a multimillionaire in this town. I said, she needs love too.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I went into a church recently where they have a healing service, and it's a very wealthy church. It's a little tiny church, but secretly they meet into like a lot of wealthy people. And I've always kind of, because I was wealthy when I was younger, and then I knew what it was like to be poor, and I've had wealth again, but I never thought of myself as wealthy. I'm very sensitive to snoots, because I belong to the golf clubs when I was a boy. I belong to the tennis. I was really brought up very affluent, you know, thinking maybe you're a little better. So now I look for that, you know. And I'm in this church, but here it's a Thursday. They're here for a healing service. Well, people that are cocky aren't going to come for a healing service to serve others and pray with others.
Right.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, sometimes it takes great wealth to reveal how poor you are. You see, somebody else may need to be poor to realize how poor they are.
Right.
Somebody might need to have health challenges to realize how poor they are. Some maybe may have financial troubles. Some people might have to have great success to realize that they're poor.
Right.
So God works in everybody's life. That's why we have no right to judge where somebody's at, you know?
You know what else?
What?
The wealthy also have brokenness. There are, I've met several people who were very broken down and had a lot of traumas from their past, and they're wealthy. I mean, look at some of the celebrities also, you know?
And the bad news is it's actually extra worse, because if you're poor and you have to go out and work, you got to sledge through it. And so maybe the power of darkness, but all of a sudden you're relying on these false riches and you go, well, I have everything. And the billionaire over in England, when we had the dip in the finances, he had $4 billion. He lost $1 billion. He was shamed in front of his family, shameful that he'd lost $1 billion. He still had $3 billion. This is how idiotic. He went and stood in front of a train in London.
Yeah.
Killed himself. I read that in Anthony Robbins' book.
What?
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you never know. Give away those smiles. Give away that dignity.
And those hugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, with me, with women, what I do now is I try not to hug breast to breast. I try to hug side by side, you know?
Right.
You know. One nice thing about being being an older guy, though, is that you're not inclined to, you know, thoughts that you maybe had when you were younger. And it's really kind of nice, because I can be friends with females as well as males now. There's nothing I want from somebody. I just want to give. I do want to say this, though. I was in a group, and one guy in particular was acting nasty. Not nice, really, you know. And I was really mad. And so I go see my counselor, and he says, oh, that's okay, because the people in there, you know, like in church, they're sick. I said, oh, they are? It flipped it, because all of a sudden, just the timing was like, oh, they're sick. So now you could say anything to me, and I realize it's okay. There's something in you. You're being healed. It's not about me. Right. And so I'm here to serve you. How can I be offended when I'm here to serve you? And if you had come up to me yelling at me, well, then you need to purge that. If somebody actually, I hate to say it, but if somebody steals from me, I figured, well, if somebody steals something, Lord, maybe they needed it more than me. Let them have it. I forgive them.
See, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful heart.
Well, we have the power to give dignity.
Amen.
So now we got a few minutes left here, and I want to know what... Is there anything here that either of you came to say today that we've missed saying? Because, you know, we're all getting to know each other here, and I probably talked a little more than I should, as I always do. But you're starting this Breaking Chains.
Yes. We want women to know that there's a place that is confidential and safe that they can come to where they will be lifted up and encouraged. And we're embarking on our fourth annual retreat. And we would love more attendees. We still have space left. And we would love for them to be a part of this retreat. And this retreat is transforming. It's beautiful. We have speakers that come and speak into your life. And it's where a lot of women just get together and they just love on each other. And they encourage each other in the Lord.
Is this a full weekend, or how does it work?
Yes.
It's
for